This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Good news, guys. Good news.
What's that?
Apple's having their big announcement today. Did you see this?
No.
They have announced Vision Pro. This is an augmented reality headset, which includes like all Microsoft Word and Excel and Teams apps. So like, Michael, we're literally in the future where like you're operating your computer and going through things without any computer there. Just sitting there and looking at it in the world.
I love it. We're past the Jetsons is what we are.
It's going to be interesting.
I saw it. For some reason, MeTV was on this weekend, and I did catch an episode of the Jetsons. No, we got a long way to go. We're all not wearing helmets.
Okay.
Planets are not cities. We're just
and honestly, don't try to tell me a Roomba is on the level of what's her face,
Rosie.
Yeah, stop yourself.
On. It's time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Corona. The Yankees had a really good road trip. They go to two tough places to play, and they beat the Mariners 2 out of 3. The only game they lose 1-0 in 10 innings. Then they go into L.A. Luis Severino doesn't have it in game 1. They lose that. They come back. They win game 2. They win game 3. So they take both series, have a day off today, and then they'll start a 3-game set against the White Sox tomorrow at Yankee Stadium before the Red Sox come into town. And I'm just curious from Yankee fans, the way the team is winning right now and what they've done, is it exciting to you? Now, let's please remove the nonsense that nothing matters until the postseason.
Right.
Has it been fun the way they've done this? Because once again, with the knocks of the front office, they've uncovered some gems. Jake Bowers looks to be a decent player. Willie Calhoun is a decent player. And though his batting average is not where you want it to be, Anthony Volpe is on pace for 25 home runs and 39 stolen bases. Something along those lines. That's not bad for a rookie. They got Donaldson back. He had 2 home runs his first game back. They got Stanton back. He hits a home run. Then he gets a big double yesterday. But now we all hold our collective breaths if you're a Yankee fan. Nestor Cortez, one of the most important pitchers, might go on the IL. Nothing definitive yet. Underwent an MRI today. No word yet that he's got a bad shoulder. He doesn't think he's going to miss more than 2 starts. That's what Boone said, too. But the big one is Aaron Judge. And Aaron Judge made a stupendous catch running through the wall out in right field in front of the Yankee bullpen. But the problem was the wall gave, but the concrete on the bottom of the wall doesn't give. And he supposedly hurt his right toe, his big right toe. So can he play through it? They're going to do an MRI on that today. What is that going to show? That's going to be big. Now, we mentioned in 1963, Mickey Mantle broke his foot running into a wall playing the Orioles. He ended up coming back in August. But the difference with that Yankee team, losing Mickey Mantle now, they were 40-20 in the 60 games that he missed. Can you envision the Yankees going 40-20 if Aaron Judge has to miss that many games? You've got to knock on wood and hope, just for baseball's sake, that he doesn't miss any games because he's just phenomenal to watch. He's such a great player. And if I were Aaron Judge, by the way, and if there's something really wrong with me, I'd be really seriously considering suing the Dodgers. Why would you have concrete that doesn't move on the playing field? Everything else is covered. There's padding on all the walls, but you don't pad the bottom of the wall where somebody could actually run into it. That would chap me to no end.
Yeah. But you know it's there, and with all the analytics that we have, is it incumbent on teams to say, hey, Aaron, be careful out there. That wall is unforgiving. Please keep it in mind if you're ever trying to track down a ball. Right? I mean, it's fair. We break down every single number there is, and I think it's ridiculous that there's a stadium out there that has that kind of a hazard, considering how much money's invested in these players. But how much work do the Yankees have to do to let these players know about the idiosyncrasies of these ballparks and how you can get yourself hurt?
Well, maybe they do tell him. I mean, but what's the likelihood of him, ramming his foot against that concrete wall? But my question is, why would that be there?
No, because it's there. Because it's I don't know. There's no regulation.
Because you mentioned it beautifully before. Every part of the wall is padded. Why is that not padded? When he made that catch, I was watching on TV. Obviously, I thought it was the bullpen door. He ran through a wall.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But Michael, you may think it's stupid, but I think I have an explanation for why the bottom wouldn't be padded.
Okay.
Well, they just don't expect anyone's body to hit that part. They don't expect them to literally run through it. You expect that they would maybe slam up against it and hit the padding. Don, you know what I'm saying?
They're not picturing
feet running through the bottom of the fence.
Well, then you got to watch The Natural, the Michael Madsen character running through the wall. That's the last time I seen anything.
And everything in The Natural is 100% realistic.
Right.
And true to baseball.
Especially the last play of that movie. I don't want to spoil it for people if you haven't seen it in the nearly 40 years that it's been out. But I just think that to have cement near feet, I don't think that's a good enough excuse that there's a 1 in 1,000 chance. Well, you play 162 games, 81 of them at home. There's a chance that it can happen, and it's just a shame. But I think what's frustrating to Yankee fans, Michael, is that you can enjoy the way they're playing, but they've kind of been stuck in that third place, six games back at Tampa for a few weeks now, it feels like. I'm sure somebody can look up officially how long it's been. So even and Tampa got there because of the sixth start. So at some point, the math tells you the Yankees are going to have to go on a tooth themselves to be able to make up those six games, and you're not going to do it without Aaron Judge. You know, at least you're not going to do it over the next 10 games if he goes on the IL. They desperately need him to be back and to be healthy if they're going to be able to make up this gap. Because as well as they're playing, Baltimore looks like they're legit, even after just playing 500 ball. But they did a good job in San Francisco over the weekend, and they're on a West Coast trip now.
Hicks
is now. Are you surprised, honestly?
No.
Are you surprised?
No, he just had to get away.
Yeah. If you want to see, you know what's so interesting about Yankee fans? There's ways to criticize Brian Cashman. They just want a blanket, oh, he's awful. But one of the things you can kind of criticize, Michael, is a good enough job being done making sure these players are New York caliber. Meaning, can they handle the rigors of New York? They went out and got him, and they also extended him. Does more work need to be done? We saw this with Sonny Gray.
And Joey Gallo.
So does he need to do a better job of investigating, doing the background, making sure these guys have the stomach to play in New York? Because clearly, for Sonny Gray and for limited Gallo and certainly Hicks here on a limited basis, feels like just getting out of town was the one remedy to find their game.
Let me throw this at you, though. In an organization and a talent evaluation program that doesn't believe in hot, doesn't believe in stomach to close games, would you believe that somebody can't play in a certain place? Because there's no quantitative analysis or number that you could put on Sonny Gray being able to pitch in New York. You can ask around, but nobody can tell you exactly how somebody's going to react to the pressure of New York.
No.
They love Joey Gallo's numbers. And what Joey Gallo's doing in Minnesota is what the Yankees thought he could do in New York. He couldn't. He melted in New York. Now, Aaron Hicks, I think injuries had something to do with it. Then that turned the crowd against him because he had decent years in New York. I don't think he was affected at the beginning. I think that once he got hurt and he became the poster child for everything that Yankee fans hate, then that started to affect him. So I don't think that, I mean, they could do their due diligence, which I'm sure they do. I'm sure they made phone calls about Joey Gallo. But there are a lot of people that knew that Joey Gallo in Texas would not succeed in the Bronx. And they were right. And the Yankees finally cut bait. So I don't know if they'll ever do that.
Listen, we get crazy over and over again. How can you not believe in hot? How can you not believe in there just being a difference in the ninth inning in a big spot? Michael, we found a hole in the whole closer thing. If you don't believe in the difference between the first inning and the ninth inning, then why have closers? Now, obviously, there's a different stomach in the ninth inning than there is pitching the eighth and the seventh. And I'm sorry. I have fun with the analytic guys just disagreeing with them, saying that I hate them and everything. But they've got to explain to me how there isn't a pressure that comes from playing in New York as opposed to other places, and that it can't affect your play. Now, maybe it's on the player. Maybe they just got to do a better job to fight through it, but that's where you've got to sift through this. Do you have the stomach to play in the big game? Do you have the stomach to play in New York with all that media and the constant criticism and getting booed? Some guys thrive on it. Some can't. Everybody's different. And to just not, and I'm not saying that New York's better, Michael. I'm saying it's different. And we've seen a history of players up and down You know, I can go back to the Mets and Doug Sist. You can go to Eddie Whitson. There's so many guys that were good, talented players, but just New York wasn't for them. You got to root that out as a general manager. I'm sorry.
It certainly plays a role. It does. I think it plays a role. And it play. I know what Aaron Boone was saying. I think he's over the booing, but I don't think he ever really did get over the booing. It bothered him. He played better on the road. And I also will always wonder, he finally turned it around. After 2 years of being miserable and terrible, he finally started to hit, and he had some big hits against Toronto, and boom, that's when he was designated for assignment. So maybe he was ready to go off. We'll never know. We'll never know. But I think that the crowd did adversely affect him at home. It became miserable for him to play at home. And, you know, remember last year he slowed down and, like, kind of dogged it in the outfield on a ball down the line. The crowd just booed him off the field, and Aaron Boone actually took him out of the game. I give him credit for that because it looked like he stopped hustling. I think he was defeated. Is he going to be able to keep this up for the rest of the season with the Orioles? If he does, what a bargain for them. They're paying a minimum wage, and the Yankees are paying him $10 million.
And I just wonder, Michael, is, you know, not believing in hot or not believing in clutch and all that, is that just a nice way of saying we can't quantify it numerically, so it doesn't exist?
It's not. It's exactly the way. That's exactly.
I mean, but that, you can't wish something out of existence. It's there. It's.
But Don, when the last game, I forgot exactly where it was, but it was a Sunday. Oh, Cincinnati. Aaron Judge had a four-hit game on Saturday, but they had planned for him to sit Sunday and enjoy two off days in a row. They didn't care that he had four hits on Saturday. He didn't play on Sunday, because they wanted to have him have 2 days in off in a row. Now, they believed in hot. They would never sit him down after he had four hits in a game. They just wouldn't. But they believe this very strongly, and they think it's true. And a lot of, I'm not, maybe they're right. Maybe we're wrong.
But
it sounds weird. It doesn't sound believable, but that's what they believe, and the numbers tell them they're right.
But, you know, just every, and I refer to it again, like the Jimmy Johnson book. He talks about, like, trying to find a player, talking to coaches, talking to assistant coaches, finding out what they did in high school, what their grades were. Are they a smart guy? Are they dumb? Do they try hard? Like, know everything you can about the human being, not just what you see on film, not just what your naked eye tells you. Get as much information, because information is power. And just to ignore that because there's no numerical value to it, to me, it's just ignorant. I'm sorry. It's ignorant. There's been sports is built on hot. Sports is built on. We're talking about, I don't know how the analytics work in the NBA. We're just talking about the role players for the Heat. Did anybody see that coming? Did the numbers show that during the regular season? But there's something that Spoelstra is able to bring out of those players where they play to the best of their ability in the postseason. And they get into a groove, and they get into a zone, and it works for them. Like, that's where winning's done. That's the formula. Not these stupid numbers on paper. What does that tell you? Sports is supposed to be playing beyond your limits, beyond what the numbers say. That's every Cinderella story that's ever been written, every movie script that's ever been put into a Hollywood director's hands, is overcoming all of the odds and playing beyond what anybody tells you. That's what sports is about. And they take it away.
That's a Pinstripe Report brought to you by Corona. Enjoy the finer life of sports. Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. Let's go to the phone, see what you're thinking. Let's go to Kevin all the way out in Atlanta. Kev.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My and I just have a question for Peter, man. Don't let these guys, whoever talks negatively about divorce, man, it's not even funny. I mean, it's just not. I called you in January, and we talked about it, and you gave me some really, really good advice because I'm going through one right now.
Oh, man.
And it's not something funny. It's not even mentionable. It's personal business that people are dealing with every single day. So that's my number one point. Number two, on a lighter note, I want to be the next great caller of the show. We got Spike. We got Richard. And we got Ira.
There's no
a
more
new
Ira.
Name coming. There's a new name coming.
Who is
Kevin.
It? It's Kevin?
Kevin.
Kevin in Atlanta.
Kevin.
I like it.
Kevin's coming. Kevin's coming. All right?
Lift
and
it up and show
I'm
it to me.
I'm bringing names.
Wow. Well, Kevin, you keep coming, okay?
Okay. Everyone settle down, Kevin in Atlanta. Wow.
You can't declare yourself as the new big caller, and you make no point other than that divorce is not good.
Well,
Well, listen, first of all, I thought he made a salient point. Second of all, today was just a declaration. Now we see where he goes next time.
That's
but,
it.
But all he said was today's a warning. Watch out for Kevin in Atlanta.
Well, there's a spot open now, Peter, because Ira's dropped out.
Not only that, but let's be honest. This is not a great time in the lives of Richard and Spike. There is a certain bit of uproar from the listeners. Let's just lift it up. If we talk about all the personal stuff between me and Rick and Dave, we can certainly talk about the callers and callers. There's a bit of a groundswell for people wanting a new generation of callers on this show. And it's going to be, I don't want to say it's a caller civil war, well, but it's going to be interesting to see play
out. Here's what I'll say about that, is that there's no inside number. If you want to be dedicated like they are, then you can be those individuals. So if Richard, if the guy from Atlanta, what was his name again? Kevin.
Well, if you already forgot, he's going to be an important caller.
See, well, then, because that's the thing. You got to make an impression, right? Kevin from Atlanta, if you want to be that guy, then you have to be committed to do it. They're committed. And as far as Ira is concerned, man, you're only punishing yourself. If the Jets have a great season, that's one less outlet for you to be able to express how you feel about it.
I'm going to also say something very, very dramatic here. I don't know if he's welcome back.
I want to know what's going on. And if it's a reasonable thing, like something going on with his family or his job changed or whatever. But if he's, you know, picking sides in some yo-yo feud, then go scratch.
It can't
also,
be
also,
that.
Let me lift the curtain a little bit, too. There is a groundswell within the station that some callers might be, we're considering it. I want to get the feel of the people out there, might be limited to one call per week. Well, you can't call every single day.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Like, there's no such thing as a personal subscription to calling the show.
Yeah, it's a right, not a privilege.
And listen, people can go on streaks, and if people bring the heat, then they get it. No pun intended, like our guy who's on hold right now. You've been hearing from him a lot, but guys, he's been bringing it every time he calls.
So should I go to him now?
Come on, yeah, you absolutely already know.
Have to.
Griffin in Connecticut. Griffin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you? How you feeling, Griffster?
I'm feeling good. It's glad to get that win.
Poised.
Yeah. We'll see what happens in the rest of the series. On the Yankees point, I want to be Mr. Positive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that this is going to be fine, but let's say Judge misses sometime, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he breaks his toe and he misses, like Michael says, until August. What if he misses sometime? They do have Stanton out there.
Mm-hmm.
They do have Donaldson. They do have Jake Bowers that is hitting. Torres has been hot lately. So, and the schedules eat favorably. So I could see us sail, like just sail above water if he misses some time. Because you had the White Sox, then you had the Red Sox, you had the Mariners in there. You really don't have any tough tasks until the Rangers. You also have at the end of the month the putrid of the MLB and the Oakland A's. So I'm not saying we're going to be just fine, but I just think we could sail if he misses sometime.
Yeah, but the one thing you have to be careful of, Griffin, you can't sail in baseball. I mean, you should be able to sail through the A's, but
right.
I mean, okay, so the White Sox, Detroit thought they were going to sail through the White Sox. They didn't. There's no sailing anymore.
No.
Because there's not that much of a difference in most teams. The Mets lost to terrible teams.
Well, look, Atlanta just lost 2 out of 3 to Oakland.
Right. Walk-offs. So, I mean, you can't sail. And Don said this earlier, and it's true. The Yankees have to now go off on a 20-5 run to make up the 6 games with the Tampa Bay Rays. You can't just go, or over the next 30 games, they're going to go 15-15. Well, they're still going to be about 6 games out then.
And listen, Tampa's not playing at the level they did at the beginning of the season, but they're still, 20-something games above 500. They're winning again today.
And also, you can't say the Red Sox are a walkover. The Red Sox are over 500. And the Mets aren't a walkover. They're a 500 team. And then the Red Sox again. That right there is 8 of your next 11 games.
It's all when you catch teams, right? It's not just, we could talk about Texas being really good. Maybe at the time you play Texas, they might be on a swoon. The Mets right now look average, but that doesn't mean they'll be average when they play the Yankees. Certainly didn't play that way against Philadelphia. It's when you catch teams, not necessarily the regular. This isn't football where a 10-0 team is going to play a 1-9 team, that they're going to be a 16-point favorite.
Let's go to David in Brooklyn. David.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Michael. I want to make a quick point about a possible platoon with the Bader and the left handed guy who's waking with the Bowers.
Mm-hmm. You can't play center field.
Do you think they should consider that? Considering Bader's down here at the time and Bowers is
Bowers not a center fielder. Wait a minute. You're not listening. He's not a center fielder.
Oh boy.
Right.
So why would you platoon him? Where's he going to play when you platoon him?
Because I think Bader deserves to play more, you know, and he has played center field.
Who? Bowers? Bowers is not a good outfielder. Bowers is a good hitter. Bader was playing great until he got hurt. Now you're going to platoon him? Are you kidding me? Left field is open. You're going to all of a sudden take time away from Bowers, and you're going to or Bader, and if you platoon Bader, he's going to sit 70% of the time because 70% of the pitchers are right-handed. Oh my goodness, do fans fall in love and out of love so fast? Now Jake Bowers is going to play center field.
I mean, that, if you're talking about falling in and out of love, we reach beer goggle territory with that call.
Wow. You realize how many games Bader wins you in center field alone?
He might be the best defensive center fielder in baseball.
If he doesn't hit the games he wins, and you want to put Jake Bowers out there, they're tolerating Jake Bowers in on the corners. Now you're going to put him in center field.
No. That wouldn't be good. I don't know how you do it, Michael.
He doesn't. What do you mean doesn't know how to do it? He lets go and screams at people. It just happens.
Scream.
You
know,
he screamed.
I made my voice a little bit louder. I didn't scream.
That's point guard right there. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, you said, how does he do it? I'm telling you, he doesn't do it. He completely loses it.
I like when he takes the glasses off, rubs the forehead.
And I like when I can always tell it's happening because you can hear the person can't quite hear that Michael's trying to talk, so they're just still going for some reason. And I know what's coming next. And then we got there.
Yeah. That's a good point, Peter.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to Marcus Stroman, National League Player of the Week. Boy, did he pitch great. Deserved it.
Yeah.
Been and pitching unbelievable.
And that little Soto shuffle wasn't awful.
That's fine with me. Soto does it.
Yeah, so if he hit a home run and he did it, why can't Stroman do it after he strikes him out looking?
I actually liked it.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Wait, but was Stroman the one? Stroman was the one who struck him out and did it.
Yeah.
Then I don't like it. I don't like Stroman.
You can't just be blanket anti-Stroman.
I'm anti-Stroman now. I think I'm anti-Stroman. Why can't I be anti-Stroman?
See, you know what, Don? There's a method to his madness. He knows Stroman is a big presence on social. He wants to get into a brawl.
I don't, but he also honestly really annoyed me last time. Like that, I really thought the stunning on the Mets was truly stupid.
Right.
Like it was like these players didn't do anything to you. Like the previous upper management of the Mets was not sitting there in the dugout. It didn't make sense.
No, I get it. But at the same time, you know, when he's right, he could be right too. So
I know. I'm being tongue in cheek there. You're right. He is certainly allowed to do it.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Acura, precision crafted performance for exceptional lease and finance offers. Visit Acura.com. Let's go back to the calls. GB and Merrick. GB.
Hey, boys. How we doing? Thanks for all you do for New York. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks for calling. What's up?
My pleasure. A couple of points. First of all, Kay, I'm worried about you. I don't like you taking these calls that are making you crazy. These guys who call in Bowers and Center, and then I see you get upset. I don't want you getting this upset over some of these callers. They're out of their minds. They don't know what they're talking about.
I'm fine, GB, but thank you for your concern.
I know. Second thing, first of all, I agree with Don 100%. There are guys who just can't make it in New York. You know, I love New York. There's guys who can't make it in other places as well. But it takes a certain player in all sports to play in New York. You know, we'll see what happens with some of these guys. But I love, and Cashman doesn't get enough credit, I love that he rolls the dice on guys like Carpenter. I love that he rolled the dice on Gallo. Why not? 40 home run guy, let's see what happens. I mean, that is the outlier of what happened with him. I love that we have a guy like Bowers. Every year, me and my Yankee fans, we're sitting here going, okay, who's that extra guy? Who's that Chad Curtis? Who's that guy that's going to come in and wow everybody? You know, so pulling a contract on a switch-hitting center fielder like Hicks, there's nothing wrong with that. It just didn't work out. And I'm glad that we're on a team that is not afraid to do that once in a while with a strong foundation in a lot of other areas.
Well, GB, you know that I think Brian Cashman, for the most part, does a very good job. But he rolled the dice on Carpenter. You can't say rolled the dice on Gallo. They gave up a lot of talent capital to get him. They didn't just like sign him off the scrap heap like they did with Carpenter, like they've done with Willie Calhoun and Jake Bowers and Francie Cordero. Those are you know, take a shot. Gallo was not to take a shot. That was a big trade. Didn't work out. Just didn't work out. They had to get rid of him. But you know what? He might have pivoted and made a pretty good trade because he traded him to Dodgers last year, and they got a guy who throws like 100 miles an hour from A-ball. So maybe it turns out to be something good, but that's not a roll of the dice. That's a trade. That's somebody that they really, really liked it. Let's go to John in Staten Island. John.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good afternoon.
Good, John. What's up?
I want to sort of piggyback off of Kevin. I love Kevin's phone call. The ding-dong call all the time. Like, Spike, who I've actually said on air that I can't stand, and Richard, who you could go to him, and you could say, hold on, Richard, my hair's on fire.
So true.
Well, we lost him. He had a lot to say, but we lost him. It's just true.
Oh, the point is made. You're going to like callers, you're going to love callers, you're going to hate callers, but, you know, the frequency of them, I think, is up for debate, sure.
Let's go to Justin in New Jersey. Justin?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Well, Don and Peter know how I'm doing since the last picks that we've had. So, Don, picks for tonight. I got the line as of right now is Vegas at minus 140,
mm-hmm. Right.
And the over-under is 5.5. True gamblers have to do a parlay to get out of the hole, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what they want you to do.
Call 1-800-GAMBLERS after
right,
this.
Right, right.
I would go Panthers and the under today. How about that?
I'm thinking maybe Panthers and the Chuck, but if you want to go with the under, then yes.
Or Cousins. He's due. Boy, what a save Hill had on Cousins in game one. Game one was really
unbelievable.
And you know what I like what TNT did, guys? Michael, you're a TV guy, so you tell me whether this is strategic. Our company does it too.
Mm-hmm.
They put game one on TNT,
right?
TBS, and True TV.
What about it?
Oh, you like the idea of that? Like our company does it with, you know, put it on ESPN2, put it on.
No,
ABC.
I think it's great. You get all the different levels. Sure, absolutely.
I haven't seen a number yet, but it was a good game, and I think it's gonna be a fun series.
Why are you not
six.
Stepping up every single game of the Stanley Cup with an ice pick? I don't get it. Why does it have to be pulled out of you like that?
Yeah. Because I think it's fun when I get it pulled out. Well, how do you know?
Another one.
That is.
Well,
it's that
I don't know
is...
how fun that is, but I. How do you know I wasn't going to have one before the show's over?
I don't. But you usually share some of it, don't you?
To who? To people who care. You guys don't care.
I care about everything you care about.
No, but if I told you I got an ice pick, you'd be okay. Good.
How dare you?
Let me ask you, Peter. If I said to Michael, Michael, I got an ice pick today during our meeting.
Right.
Would Michael go, A, silence, B, okay, C, oh, what's the pick?
I would not ask you what the pick is.
Exactly.
But I would say, when do you want to do it? So I'd know to lead up to it and tease it like a pro does.
So option D, I didn't think about
it. You didn't think about it. Well, you know, it seems like today you're always up for option D.
Let's go to Rob. He's in the Bahamas. Yeah.
Really?
What's up, Rob?
All right, so one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Why would you call?
Because I actually have family in New York, and I'm a big Yankee fan. And I heard the guy a few minutes ago on my way home from work saying that he wanted to be one of the new generation of great callers, so I thought I'd chime in as well.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah, show us something, Rob.
We need a regular caller from the Bahamas. I like it, but you got to make a point. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, I watch almost every Yankee game. My son is a baseball player. He's 7 years old. He loves Yankees. He loves Aaron Judge. My dad is a Yankees fan. Well, he's a Mets fan. But he asked me, he said, why do you think Giancarlo Stanton keeps getting injured? And I told him, I think it's a mechanical issue because he has a closed stance and he has a very powerful swing. So when you swing the bat and you get all that torque on your left leg, you're liable to have minor tears in your left hamstring. And then even though you might not be running full speed to first or second, it could still develop over time where you might get a little tweak and that's how you get injured.
Well, I mean, your guess is as good as anyone's. I just think he's heavily muscled, and you pull muscles. And I mean, the last time he got hurt, it was on him. He thought the ball was out,
right?
So he decelerated, and then he had to accelerate to get back to second base with the double. He thought that's the ball that I said there goes.
Yeah. So he was fooled too.
Yeah, the whole team was fooled. But you can't be fooled. These guys have to learn. Run hard until the ball's clearing the wall.
The caller's absolutely right. That's exactly why he gets hurt, but that's also exactly why he can be a dominant offensive force.
Right.
The torque he gets with his swing and the way his body type is. Michael, if he changed that, he probably would stay healthy but not be as productive.
What makes him great might also get him. I just think it comes down to this. He's built like a Greek god, and there aren't a lot of players that are built like that. I don't think the body can take the torque constantly.
He's the reason why when we were growing up, they said you couldn't be heavily muscled and play baseball.
Like, and he's the reason that David Wells said you can't pull fat.
But they've been able to make it work now. It's the body type and how strong he is and how hard he swings. If you take that away from him, then he wouldn't be as productive.
Very rarely do you see guys that are not well-defined pull muscles.
That is true.
I mean, Harrison Bader... You might not see it like you see it with Stanton, is like built like a weightlifter. So he's already pulled an oblique. Now he pulled a hamstring. It's going to happen. They're heavily muscled. It's like you pull a string as tight as it can go, might pop. Let's go to Raul in Harrisburg. Raul.
How you doing, Don, Michael, Peter?
Yo, yo.
What's up?
Yo, yo. Hi, Don, I got a question for you. The Mets, this average team, when do you break the water point on a team? Do we wait for the Braves series to determine that? Or do we wait longer because, you know, people are running out of patience for this?
Well, what do you want to do? I mean, you want to fire Buck? You want to make a big trade? What do you want to do?
Who are they? Who is this team, a 500 team? Or?
Well, no, they should be better than a 500 team, but you're talking about when to flip the switch. I don't know what you want them to do. I think if this team were to fall where they're double digits out of first place and they're 5-6 games under 500 and it's August, if you wanted to make a change or shake things up, but, you know, 60 games in, it's a big sample, as I said earlier. But, guys, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button and start firing Buck or make major changes.
Well, I've got a big question for you. But, Raul, I have a big question. What's that ticking in the back?
It's the signal. You got to turn your signal off. It's annoying.
Well, he wants to be safe.
It's a signal, yeah. That's because I'm at it, you know. And you got it wrong, Michael, the other day. It's Harrisburg. Oh. So I'm in the terminal of Harrisburg. I mean, that's like the airport.
What did I say the other day?
I was the Jersey guy.
Well, I mean, I only read what they put up on the screen. I'm almost robotic. But I hear a clicking.
How do you not know what that was?
To hear it. Mike Wallace and Leslie Stahl.
No, that's much faster. That's the this one was just a clear left turn signal he had.
Wow.
I could tell his left, too.
It's interesting that it is an annoying sound, right?
Really?
You'll see people on the turnpike for a half hour still have their left signal on and not hear it.
And they're usually 70 and up.
It's like, like my father would say, they're making a left around the world.
Yeah, that's what NASCAR is. Let's go to Steve in New Providence. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you.
You got it.
Hey,
good
Steve.
To talk to you.
So this mostly directed at Don. Don, you are my guy on this show. Okay. I think we agree on a lot, but I think you might have gotten out ahead of your skis a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Before. I know there's this shtick that you have to go on with the analytics, but you had mentioned that sports is built around outperforming expectations. Do you actually want the Mets to go out and build a team that's designed to be reliant on guys having Hollywood stories and outperforming expectations? I like those stories, but in defense of the analytic guys, I don't know that as a fan my stomach could take watching year in and year out a team that was specifically built around guys that they're hoping.
No, but you're misunderstanding the point. The point is, use the numbers to build your team. But if I've got a guy that's 25 for 30, you know what? I'm playing him until he gets cold. And I'm going to treat the ninth inning different than every other inning because that's the money inning to me. That's what I'm talking about. The analytics, the in-game decisions sometimes drive me crazy. And just looking at the numbers and basing it solely on that and not realizing, well, maybe this guy isn't built for New York. Or maybe this guy's not a winner. Or maybe this guy can't handle hitting in the clutch or hitting in a key spot. I think that should be factored in, too. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going to build my entire team based on that, just the same way I'm not going to build my entire team on analytics. I don't like the fact that it's become a religion, guys. It's almost like a cult. Where these numbers are it, and that's it. There's no defying them. There's no denying them. This is the way that it is, and you're an idiot, and we're right. And I think there's got to be some wiggle room. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the real stories come from. The guys that buck the trend. The guys that play over their skis for that moment. And I want a manager that's going to be able to sense that and root that out. They're literally playing the game on paper, guys. We're always told sports isn't played on paper, not baseball. Baseball is played on paper.
Well, I will tell you this. I think it's been taken the wrong way. I'm all in on analytics. It's convinced me. It's the way to build teams. You see what a guy can do. But I don't like the fact, and I've said this before, they're never wrong. You can't debate them. Their stuff is infallible. And things that they can't quantify, they ignore. Nah, there's no hot, there's no cool, there's no cold. When it's time to rest a guy, it's time to rest a guy. Stomach in the ninth inning, all of that stuff. That's the stuff I'd say 95% of the way to being a total analytic acolyte. But I'm not going to be, as Don said, a cultist. I'm not going to. Right. I don't think it's infallible. They do. I don't. I like to argue things. That's what sports is about. They don't like to argue. They're never wrong. Even when it doesn't work out, they're never wrong. Well, it will work out 8 out of 10 times. It didn't work out that time, though. So they don't want to hear that they're ever wrong. That's the 5% that I'm a holdout on. I'm all for it. I think it works. It shows it works. The Yankees are so dead into it. The Tampa Bay Rays are, and look how it works out. So yeah. Are the Red Sox. It's not working out for them, though. So some people's analytics are better than others.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point's gone.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass. It kind of changes the narrative a little bit. Maybe it shouldn't, because maybe he would have played poorly anyway. But you got to feel good as a Knick fan that he went out and did that.
I feel good because I've always said he's a horse. Doesn't miss games. But I still believe the Knicks need another great player.
Oh, yeah.
He's not that second player. He could be the third player, but they might have to use him to get that great player. So I haven't changed that because of the ankle. I don't accept the award. That was not the best point made on the show today.
So who made the point, though? We both made points.
Michael made the point.
But it wasn't even that great of a point. Peter had a better point.
Yeah. What was my point?
It was some kind of rip at me.
Oh, yeah, about how...
No, that should have been the point. Absolutely, that should have been the point, God. Point. About how, no, you don't contain yourself. You do lose it. I said, Michael, I don't know how you do it. And Peter said, because he doesn't. That was the best point of the day. You know what? I think we should take the voting over.
Sounds
no
good
offense
to me.
Anthony, he does a really good job. But you know what?
Well, how do we vote for our own points, though?
That's a good point. Let Anthony continue to do it, because then we can also continue to rip him.
That is a good point. Half the fun is going to be ripping it almost every single day.
Now, half the fun of Drop Madness was ripping Andrew.
Great point.
Yeah. That might be the point, God late. Anyway, listen up, baseball fans. ESPN New York is giving you the chance to score an amazing road trip and travel with the home team when New York visits Philadelphia. You and a guest could catch a game and enjoy round-trip train tickets, two-night hotel accommodations, and $200 in spending money. For official rules and to enter, visit the ESPN New York app and click on Travel with the Home Team. It's all brought to you by the engagement experts at London Jewelers. Let's go back to the phones. Let's see. Let's go to Chad in Plattsburgh. What's up, Chad?
Hey, guys. I like to cut all your jibs.
Thank you. We love our jibs.
Just, well said. That's reflective. But just 2 points. So, first one is the Alonzo Judge competition that may happen. Don, I love that take. Let's think about it like this. Like, who's the first to host SNL?
It would be Judge.
It'd probably be Judge. Well, I think he'd be better at it.
Oh, between just those two?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you think so, Chad? Judge?
Yeah. He's got the personality. What it's like, if you think about Jeter, too, like, nobody thought Jeter would be able to do it, but, dude, he slayed.
Yeah, he was good.
I don't know if I'd go as far as Slade.
I thought he was really good.
He was good.
Taco Bell or whatever it was called. That
he
was
wasn't
great.
Peyton. He wasn't either.
Yeah, he wasn't Peyton or Eli. He was good. I'm not going to go as far as Slade, but he was good. But, I mean, Pete Alonso's never doing SNL.
Wait a minute.
He's not.
Well, what if he hits 65 home runs? There's no way they would have him do it? That's all they have to settle the
right. Right. So far, there has been nothing. I don't know why. There's been nothing to show me the star that would be doing that.
First of all, Judge has got the best chance just overall because he's already accomplished.
I would
so
say
much.
Ohtani and Judge are the two guys
but
who could do it.
If they just, listen, they put Eli on after the Super Bowl. If the Mets won the World Series and Pete being Pete, I think he'd have an excellent chance to host SNL. If you tell me neither win a championship over the next 5 years, it'll be Judge. But if the Mets win, let's say the Mets win in the next couple of years, and he's like the MVP, and he's hitting 50 home runs, with his personality, you don't think the writers would sink their teeth into doing stuff with him?
No, his personality's awful for that. I think we'd all feel more embarrassed than we've ever felt in our lives. I think they would change the name of the show to Cringe Night Live.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm sorry. He's fantastic, but it would be so... I just can't picture it. Now, Judge, I don't picture being Eddie Murphy either. I picture him being very understated, but, you know, sort of in the way Jeter was and the way Michael Jordan was. I just can't picture Pete doing it. Am I a bad guy?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to
look
with
it. Slade? You know who was really good? It's before your time, Peter. Steinbrenner was great.
Of course you have that.
Oh, my God.
Go watch it on YouTube. He had really great.
I doubt it.
What do you mean you got it?
I doubt it. Because that's just the opinion you're going to have. And it's
because I'm Yankee boy, which is my line.
Don, you know what?
That's the answer.
Since Michael's throwing out there, I'm going to throw one out. I'm going to shock you, okay? You know who I thought did a great job back in like 1999, 2000?
Steve Martin.
No, The Rock. I thought he was tremendous.
Oh, he was.
In 1988, Gretzky killed in 88.
Gretzky did it?
Yes.
Wow, I forgot about that.
I wouldn't think he killed.
Gretzky's the only hockey player ever, I'm guessing, right?
How did Messier not ever do it?
I don't see it. It was Gretzky. You're going to go Gretzky. That, but what they're saying is the only way you could possibly have a hockey player on SNL
is it's the greatest of all time. Literally, it's only Wayne Gretzky.
Interesting.
Is it?
How was ENN coming around?
Really good. By the way, Don, is there anything more opposite of the truth when it's spoken than when Michael goes, interesting?
Oh, absolutely.
It's the exact equivalent of when you did the Oscar gamble and Don goes, haha, funny. Yeah. It's the exact, but only the difference is, Don, you did that in an effort to actually try to lie. Michael does it every day to just tell us we're boring, move on.
That's the way
you know
I
what?
Take it.
Then you have a guilty conscience. That's not exactly how I mean it to be.
No, but two of the people on the show take it that way.
Well, I don't care.
Well, there you go.
In the words of Kevin Meaney, I don't care. I
wish it was possible. It's not. I wish it was possible to do a compilation of times Michael just goes, interesting. It's always when he's done. Just done.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.